They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Inside on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked through from wherever in the world that you happen to be. We're always glad that you join us for these long-form business interviews. And today we're going to take a divergent path and speak once again to a friend who has relocated numerous times. You know, it's just like she jumps all over the country. She is now based in Austin, Texas, and you may recognize the name Roxy Copeland. Roxy, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful you've cut out some time to be with us today.
I appreciate you having me.
All right. So let's just do the quick 60-second intro about you. Tell us, who in the heck is Roxy Copeland, for those of folks who may not be familiar?
Well, I'm a singer, songwriter, and pianist. And as you pointed out, I'm based in Austin. And the music that I write tends to hang out at the intersection of Americana, blues, and jazz. I just released a new single, I think about a week and a half ago at this point, called Daddy Don't Do Politics.
Daddy don't do politics, he don't take time. Daddy don't do politics, but he don't like mine. Don't get me wrong, he'll mark the box for the guy who thinks he'll love his stocks. But Daddy don't do politics.
Which is kind of a little satirical, fun bluegrass tune that I'm having a good time with. And so that's the most recent release. And I'm also working on an EP for release sometime in 2021.
Got it. And of course, I mentioned your vagabond lifestyle. You were in Milwaukee not long ago and then relocated to Austin via Iowa and other parts and parcels. And you did a really interesting piece. And I just want to bring this up because I think it's so cool. It's called Milwaukee Strong. And you were part of a cadre of performers that did this for the city of Milwaukee. Can you give us a little story about that?
Absolutely. So while I was in Milwaukee, I was there for 6 years. And of course, you start to get to know the folks in the music and creative scenes when you live in a place. And so a friend of mine who does a lot of work with the hip hop community, Be Free, she's a performer, producer, fantastic singer. You can look her up on Facebook. She emailed me and was like, hey, you know, we want to do this project. We've been asked to by the city of Milwaukee to kind of a song about coming together right now, well, with everything going on, and we want to put together kind of an all-star group of Milwaukee musicians to be involved in this. So they had ideas about, you know, what they wanted folks to do. Somebody had written the song and they, you know, were asking different vocalists and instrumentalists to do little parts, you know, the verse, maybe the hook, maybe sing harmonies. And it ended up being a pretty cool project, seeing as how COVID's going on. You know, we recorded where we could. I set up a blue snowball mic in my closet, used some sweaters to deaden the verb in there, and sent in some harmonies. And then they made a music video out of that as well.
Yeah, and I just have to make mention of this. We will put a link to that in this radio blog. But I just found the whole thing really uplifting and neat. But on the other side of this, on the business side of doing something like a Milwaukee Strong, I think the technology that went into producing that video is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've got people from all over the country putting stuff together. They're not in the same studio. They're not working together in the same way. But it seamlessly tracked together. Fascinating.
Yeah, I was incredibly impressed with the production on that, because not only were they putting together the song, right? So these tracks from folks all over the U.S., both instrumental and vocal.
Yeah.
Then they did a video and had everybody send in all manner of video, you know, whether it was iPhone, some folks had a little more professional setup. And then managed to splice all that together into a music video that was, I thought, really impressive.
Oh, yeah.
There were, I think, about nearly 40 Milwaukee or Milwaukee-affiliated creatives involved with that project.
Yeah, and what's, I think, incredible about that, again, back to the technology, if you have any experience in creating videos or audio work or whatever it happens to be, when you have that many people and that many videos, and then you put together a seamless music video like that, it's just astounding. So good on those folks up there, and a shout-out to those Milwaukee talented individuals. Let's come back to Roxy Copeland. So we're in the middle of a pandemic, as, gosh, news about that, right?
We are indeed.
Yeah, we are indeed. How is this all impacting your business?
Well, I mean, it's been pretty destructive for the creative industry overall. In terms of the music industry specifically, where to start? So the venues, of course, a lot of them are shut down because a lot of them especially are in high traffic urban centers where they need to have a lot of folks through the doors in order to pay rent. Let's say you've got a venue that, you know, holds 100 people, not that big, but they can't do shows and break even if they can only have 10 people there due to social distancing rules. Now, of course, everybody wants to keep everyone safe, so they're choosing to shut down because there's really nothing else for them to do. So the venues are in dire straits. There have been a number of help proposals that have been brought before Congress. So far, not much going on there. There's a lot of lobbying associations trying their best to get some help out to both major and smaller venues. Nothing so far. On the musician side of things, I mean, it's been really bad. There are not a lot of options left besides streaming shows. But for those of us, myself included, who make our living off of live performances, it's basically dropped the number of shows, you know, from... I mean, I used to play 10 to 12 shows a month on average. And now the only shows I'm playing are, you know, outdoors because I just don't think it's safe to be inside. And on top of that, you know, like the vast majority of them are illegal as well to hold indoors. It's been pretty rough. Musicians have had to pivot to different strategies like online shows, and doing what they can, but it's pretty dire for the creative industry right now.
It is. And one of the stories we had, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Roxy Copeland, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. She's a singer-songwriter currently based in Austin, Texas. We had a story, I think it was last week maybe, about Zoom, and maybe you've seen this, but soon Zoom is going to allow artists to sell tickets to their shows, to their online shows. And so venues and artists will be able to do that, sell tickets. And Zoom says, by the way, that they're not going to take a cut of the gate.
I would be interested to see how that works out because there are a number of other online companies that do something akin to that. Stage It is one where, you know, you can charge someone to come to your show and it's live streaming. A lot of companies start out not charging a fee for that sort of thing. And then... once they get popular enough, they do. That's how it works. But I will be interested to see how that works. I know there are a number of companies offering that service, so it'll be intriguing to see how Zoom differentiates itself from the other ones already up and running.
Sure. And the fact that, Zoom stock has continued to zoom upward because we're all seemingly using it. So you do have that in the background, that this is a relatively wealthy organization going out there and saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. But you're correct. All decisions are business decisions, and perhaps at some point they will take a cut. But for now, anyway, they're saying that they won't. Roxy Copeland is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the business of music in and now during the pandemic. So you just cut a new song, Daddy Don't. Daddy Don't Do Politics?
Daddy Don't Do Politics.
And so I have to ask, and you're working on an LP with this, how do you do this? I mean, how does a singer-songwriter create this during COVID-19? Are you going to a studio, and how does that work?
Well, we've had to, you know, like everybody else, every other business, we've had to make some modifications. When I wrote Daddy Don't Do Politics, it was already a few months into the pandemic. And I knew a fellow here in Austin. Now, just like every other aspect of the music industry, recording studios were hit hard by this too, because right. generally speaking, you've got a lot of folks in a fairly tight space, especially in a big city, you know, and it's just tough to socially distance. But anyhow, he was having trouble keeping the lights on because everybody had canceled due to COVID. And, you know, he's got a family to support too. So he said, look, I'm going to run this special where for a month, I'm going to do, you know, pay what you can for musicians. Since a lot of us were hurting on the income front as well. So I decided to go in there and we were super careful. We made sure everybody had masks on, except when they were in what's called an isolation room in the recording studio, where you're by yourself and you're recording, say, vocals or drums. So everybody's masked up. He disinfected everything all the time. We were super careful. And we made sure there was never more than, you know, four folks in the studio. We were spread out. So we did, I used the studio for this, and that's how a lot of folks are recording right now. Those who are, I guess I should say some folks who have recording setups at home are doing that, but mainly it's about modifying how we do this process in order to make it as safe as possible while not losing that magic that happens when you're playing together with other musicians.
Yeah, and for folks who maybe have not been part of all of that, these isolation rooms, you're right, and you can do vocals and harmonies and all those kinds of things on your own in a separate studio. And we, you know, it's interesting. We've talked to a couple of voice actors over the past several months, one based in Atlanta and another, Abby, is based in New York. And it's interesting to see how they're working as well. These are voice actors that are voicing movie trailers or all kinds of things. And some are installing isolation rooms in their studio, in their home.
Yep.
And others are kind of like Roxy Copeland, headed to the closet and doing their voiceovers in the closet because it's a better sound without the echo. So, yeah, people are creating all kinds of ways to get this done. What are you going to do this winter, Roxy? You've got an LP hopefully in 2021. What's on the horizon?
Yeah, well, so as I mentioned, right now I'm only playing outdoor shows. I think that those are far safer.
And you're fortunate you're in Austin, Texas. If you were in Grinnell, Iowa, you'd be inside by now, right?
Yeah. So my last planned show for this year is actually on Halloween, on October 31st, out at a winery. And then after that, I'm planning to focus on finishing up this EP that I'm working on. It's five songs, and it's basically recorded at this point. I just need to add a little violin and then spend some time mixing and mastering and then do all the other business aspects of that, which take up a lot of time, everything from, you know, photography and design to registering the songs with the various organizations that pay royalties to setting up the publicity campaign, the PR, the radio side of things. I will be kept plenty busy over the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, I think that's, you bring up an interesting subject. One of the things that so many people don't realize is when you're a singer-songwriter and you're not one of the top 100 singer-songwriters or whatever, you know, the ones that we always hear on the radio, whatever genre of music that you listen to, that have an army of people behind them doing the legal, doing the promotion, doing the artwork, doing the photography, doing the layout on the album, all of those things. You got all those people doing that stuff. When you're a Roxy Copeland, you're kind of doing a lot of this yourself, yes?
You do. You wear a lot of hats. Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, every creative is a small business.
Right.
You know, and every musician as well. So, yeah, I go from spending a few hours, you know, scheduling rehearsals or doing contracts for shows, and then on to, you know, adding some harmonies to something, and then speaking with the designer regarding the upcoming, you know, a poster for a tour. And yeah, you're basically, you're a small business, and I've got 7 or 8 folks that I work with, kind of my team, ranging from, you know, my friend who always does my photography and design, to a couple of folks that I count on for legal advice, you know, to folks who help me in the tech department, to, but of course, you know, band members and collaborators on the music front. So yeah, it's you wear a lot of hats, and you have to keep abreast of changing developments, both in the music industry and the tech industry, because those two are so intertwined these days.
They are. Final question for Roxy Copeland. When you talk about technology that's out there, and as you know, things have changed dramatically. Getting airtime, for example, on radio stations can be tough for independent singer-songwriters. Getting listens, even through digital, can be difficult. There are a number of players out there, including, and I've heard some horror stories relative to singer-songwriters in Spotify, how do you get airtime or play or eyeballs? You got to be doing a lot of self-promotion, perhaps?
Yeah, you absolutely do. And, you know, depending on the service, you have to take different approaches. You mentioned Spotify, and whenever you bring up Spotify, independent musicians kind of recoil, because it's one of those necessary evils, I guess I would say. Nobody likes it because the amount that they pay out is just horrendous.
Yeah, I think it's pennies.
Yeah, I think it's about, at this point, and it depends too on whether, you know, you're listening to their premium service or their free service, but it takes on average for an independent singer-songwriter, independent musician period, about 300 streams for you to receive a dollar's worth of income. And that's assuming there's not a record label taking a chunk of that. So with Spotify, you know, it's such a huge part of how people listen to music these days. You're told you have to have your music on it, but it's also frustrating because while you do manage to catch a few new ears and eyeballs via that service, you're not going to be able to, like, unless you're, you know, Lizzo or something, you're not making a lot of money off that. So Spotify, you have to be on it, but it doesn't really bring in income. Radio is a whole nother story. And while pay to play was outlawed, as you probably know,
quite a while back, many years ago,
there are still a lot of shadow systems left in place. And it's nearly impossible to get played on the various formats, say Americana, non-com, Texas country, all that, without paying a promoter who's pals with the stations. So basically, if you don't pay a promoter, it's not going anywhere. And even if you do, it's not going anywhere, most likely, unless you have so much money that you can pay to sponsor the programs where they play new music. So while you can't pay stations directly, there's still some shady stuff going on. And occasionally you'll see news articles pop up, you know, especially with pop music stations where some pretty shady allegations are made that the entire music industry knows they're happening, but it's just kept kind of underground.
Yeah. Well, it is, you know, everything is disrupted. Everything has changed. And for sure, the music industry has gone through a real catharsis over the past a dozen years or more. And it keeps on changing. Roxy Copeland, singer-songwriter based in Austin, Texas. And by the way, we will do whatever we can to spread the word about you and your music. You're such a talented person. You know I'm a fan, and I've been a fan for years, having first seen you years and years ago at an art event in Greater Des Moines, Iowa. And so good and so kind to spend some time with us today. Thank you so much, Roxy.
Well, thank you for having me, Michael.
That, once again, is the very talented singer-songwriter Roxy Copeland from Austin, Texas. And yes, of course, we will have links to her website on our radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today's edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with this project, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right this moment was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For those folks and for Roxy Copeland, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.